If you don't take action on the thing that you believe in to be your path course, you'll be denying a future prosperity literally because you didn't take the opportunity to do the thing that you were most passionate about.
Oh, of course. So in the process of, like, before that, like, it's a 3-year period before that, I'm still doing digital work.
Mm.
I branded, like, I'd say, like, not to be biased, but I'd say 50% of the UK cannabis products in the UK, I've branded 50% of them.
Really?
Yeah. And that's not to be biased.
Yo, talk about Carp DM. Killer Keller podcast. KillerKellerOfficial.com. You need the Kellervision app. 24/7 mini documentaries, podcasts, live shows, DJ live streams, top fives, subscription packages, plus products for all your podcasts and street culture sports. Download it from the App Store for free today.
Instagram UK Frontline.
Yo, Nolan Poland Records for underground classics. NoPolandRecords.com.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller Podcast.
Yeah, what's good? Killer Keller Podcast, live and direct, central London, or essential as you need to be, desire to be. It's deeper than you think. Big shout to everybody that has been following us on the journey. HoldTightPirate.com, 24/7 music, podcasts, and dance studios all across the UK. Big shout out to strainstation.co.uk, HoldTightNoPolandRecords.com, and all of the affiliates. Anyone's got the Kellervision app, you know what it do and where it is. Hit Android, iPhone, free download for all your sporting, art, street, culture, sports. Listen, it ain't just about graph, it's about music, it's about b-boy, it's about sound clashes, it's about DJ culture, it's the works, and it's all there for you. Drop of a download. Yo, we have a gentleman inside the place today that is approaching 20, in fact it is, 20 years in the game. Would you Adam and Eve it? Not to fail in mentioning that he is such a diverse artist, an all-rounder, 360, that is embarking on new strengths and advances in his creative journey, that it just had to be time. Had to be time to get him on board. And I'm a fucking fan. 1TPSPAGG. He'll run the numbers up. This is Ames inside the place.
Nice one, my man. Nice hey, one.
How are you, my brother?
all good. Nice to be here. It's an honor.
Doesn't do you justice, my brother. It doesn't do you justice. I mean, 20 years in the game and Jesus, that must fly, eh?
Yeah, to be fair, it's been a mad one from the start to Well, there ain't a finish yet, but yeah, it's been a bad one. Yeah.
These things never tend to finish, even when you want them to. There's always something that creeps up back around. Oh, that sounds pretty good. I'll do that.
Yeah, literally.
I mean, you do a lot of stuff, and I think this is going to be a really insightful episode because everyone's going to know your pieces up and down from motorways to track sides to walls on high streets. You know, you've really been smacking the coverage recently.
Yeah, it's been an experience. So recent experiences. To be fair, I just thought sort of my time to reignite the scene and sort of reimburse my name back to. Like I say, I'm not saying like I was a sort of a OG or proper really recognised name like back in the day, but I've been through the stages and I've met many people and I know many, many graphers.
Mm.
And I started with the likes of Knees, Chock, EB, Akel and like Legal Walls at like the age of 14. So,
man, people sleep on Akel, man. Like, he was such a... All that THC lot, right?
Exactly.
Great, man. That was an era of defining, and DPM as well, like you say.
Correct,
you know?
Yeah, correct. So, like, when I was 14, being with these, like, sort of writers, and I didn't really know what was, at the time, was legal or illegal, if you get what I mean. So I was still sort of young.
Mm.
So that's going back to, like, 2002. So when I started writing with them and sort of, like, in, like, that sort of what I thought was... I didn't know it was illegal. We'll say, for instance, Pig's Alley or Felt and Bowls, and that's going back long. It was sort of just sort of like a cherished experience, sort of. And I thought, like, I've got a day where painted with knees, chalk. I remember it like to the sort of like the day I kind of died sort of thing. And that was the day I sort of was like, that's it.
That's it. You just took you away.
Yeah, literally. That
you
was
mean,
it.
I mean, you got dons who wouldn't be taken
yeah,
away?
Yeah, that was back 2004, like I say.
So how old were you then?
14, 15.
14 or 15?
Yeah.
Born into the game, man.
Literally, yeah. Even it goes back even further, like I say. I showed you a picture earlier with...
This is some inside shit.
I showed you a picture in, like, my uncle's bedroom, like, the age of three.
Yeah, yeah.
Holding a baseball bat with all, like, graffiti around me. So it was just, like, embedded in me from...
Early.
Like, it was just subliminal message.
Yeah, yeah.
Without even realising.
This picture, you know, the grain holds all the qualities and hallmarks of an era, but then there's you, you know, fair-haired boy of no more than what, fucking four or five, with a baseball bat, and then behind you is nothing but tags.
Tags.
Like the whole bedroom had been bombed the fuck out.
It's, yeah. So, like, when I look at them pictures now, like, so obviously, you don't look at them when you're younger because they're not visible until, like, say, for instance, the people who was taking the pictures are aware of what you do now.
Mm.
So then they get shown to you like at a later date and you're like...
That's fucking why.
Yeah.
This is why.
This explains it all.
Do you blame me?
Yeah. This explains it all. There's no way to's about it. So yeah, it sort of started like I said. I say like the day was at Pig's Alley when I was painting with knees and it was just a surreal experience at that age.
Yeah.
And going into school the weekend after, but only being in year eight, so you can work out what age it is.
Mm.
And I'm walking around with an art folder, but with, say, I think I had, it was a chalk, like sort of, it was, I can remember the colours, it was like turquoise, greens, etc., and it was like yellow, but it was like a proper picture, but it was in the corner of my like art folder, like big A3 art folder, and I had a run for cover, which was, done by, I believe, Vizzo, rest his soul.
Pete Vizzo, wow.
And he's like my uncle, so he's the father of my, like, my cousin Molly, so EB.
I'll tell you, EB.
Yeah, he does, like, 3D type stuff, but that's who the original wall was. It was a massive run for cover, a character that I've sent. Either end. I'll get the picture up for you. I'll get the actual picture.
When you see this. Sort of
And then I had that in my art folder. So I sort of like walking around school, etc. Bearing in mind, I'm in year eight. I've just started the school type thing.
Mm.
No one knows I can graph, you know, like I'm like sort of new to the school. And then to come across, which was Big Up Five.
Old tight.
Which was 2 years above me at the time, so he's in year 10.
Nice.
And realised I graphed. And then he sort of, like, at the time, took me under his wing.
Can I ask you at this point, because obviously, aside from the obvious that you had influence within your family...
Yeah.
What was it like? Not many people experience this from a school placement where you actually meet another writer in those environments. What was it like when you first met someone else within your school, within that kind of conformity? You meet someone else that is totally into what you do and it isn't regularly broadcast.
It's quite surreal, to be fair, because at the time Fire was a real respected person, like not just for graffiti, just for who he was as a person.
Right.
So, and that was an early age as well. So he's like, say, 15, 16, and he was, because it was year 10 at school. So, and that's going back, like I said, 2004, that period there. So, like, so it was quite surreal. So when you got the likes of, he didn't write Five at the time, he wrote Gazer.
Okay.
And then transitioned from Gazer to another word was Annoy, and then to Five. And that sort of, but I'll go back to like sort of like the actual meeting him, and it was sort of surreal because the people who I was writing with was the people he was looking up to write with. Do you kind of get what I mean? So he was taken back by me, who was a lot younger, but I was writing. Mm. I didn't know it was legal or illegal, like I said, or illegal at the time, but I was still writing with these people at these places. So he was sort of taken back too, and he was like, you're with us now, like kind of type thing.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. One thing that I've noticed about writers is that to be inducted into a circle of writers, the only thing the writers kind of need to know is you're going to go the distance. Because with going the distance, your style gets better the more distance you go, right? So it's all about tenaciousness.
Of course. So like when I sort of like, that's when it sort of come about where I started... Instead of, I was kind of a naughty kid anyway. Like, I've got ADHD, so I was always non-stop regardless.
Mm.
So at that sort of time, instead of, what was I doing? I'll say, for instance, I was just going out, like, random graffiti walls with these other writers. And then on, say, for instance, after school, I was just, like, fucking about in the park. But, and then it went from fucking about in the park to going out with five... And other so-called writers, but there's no point really mentioning them because it sort of stopped after a couple of years. Okay. Other than I'd say Messi, Five, and there was another guy, Nemo, who we sort of continued writing, if you say. But the others didn't. But we like...
I remember Nemo. I remember.
Yeah, we like scratched every front window of the 118 bus, the 60s from... Croydon to Streatham.
I'll talk myself, crew. You know what real time is. Come on.
Front window was big scratches. But it weren't just from one selective writer. It was from all different. We used to, like, go on the buses, jump on the backs and, you know, like, tear up the buses, basically, and shit like that. But,
golden years. And not to repeat it again, don't try this at home. It's this nice little story, you understand? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a bit different back then.
Yeah, we don't condone this business.
Yeah, it was definitely a bit different back then.
Yeah, well, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Jesus. I remember the slams shut doors of the trains.
Yes, exactly.
They got brutalised. Ah,
from
that?
Wimbledon. Yeah, definitely. I was hanging out the sides, like risking your life, hanging outside of a door to catch an outside reach. Yeah, it's crazy, like literally risking your life, but... And then another train's coming past you, the other end, you're like, the gusts of wind, and you have to pull yourself back in.
Hey, my life, I ain't about that, bro. I mean, to be fair, as a young buck of my time, when I saw that sort of stuff, I just... Fibs said it on his podcast, you immediately felt like you were part of a scene just by having seen it. Do you know what I mean?
Of course, that's real still.
Yeah, it's still there, isn't it?
Yeah. That's real still. Like, today's one's different. It's totally... bit of plastic. It's fucking...
You reckon?
Yeah, it's totally different. Totally different. You'd rather paint something back then than what's there now.
Is right. Okay, well, this is speaking from experience, clearly. So what, are you sensing a differentiation between the two?
No, of course. Obviously, like, not saying the work, because hats off.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible.
Go and do what you're doing, but the finished product...
Mm.
The finished product back then would 100% look better if we had today's colours.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing, isn't it? It's like hindsight's 2020, and I also have this romantic idea that, and this goes, we're sticking to the script, because it does go back to the era you're talking about and the time in which you came up. It was such a greater level of commitment so far as, well, if we haven't got that colour... then we'll have to make that colour. If we haven't got that cap, we need to find that cap. If we haven't got these... You know what I mean?
When I started venturing out, like it's weird to say now, like, so I'm not really a big build, but I was getting my parents to buy me bigger clothes so I could rack mm-hmm. like paint, mm-hmm. going to Halfords and stuff, and like, and that was the part of getting up. I'm not like, not saying like I fucking battered it, because I didn't, but I walked the tracks from Streatham to Clapham, casual, and I've still got things on there now from 04.
Geezer, at no point, right, did your uncle, who was probably casually sitting there watching Brookside or some shit, Hollyoaks, did he not at any point see you walk out with a fucking big fucking wide awake jumper and everyone turned around and said, you know what he's going to do, don't you?
Yeah. But it's silly when you look about it now. I'm a small foot, but I used to get bigger trainers because I used to roll up a sock and buff out the tongue. Like, I used to call it a buffer. I used to have a big X, and I used to put a big rolled up sock down the front. But my trainers are two sizes too big for me.
Some OG shit.
Yeah. Literally with a floppy nightcap. like floppy peak climber fit was. Like, I've still got one now indoors. Like.
But these are the lengths you had to go back in the day to attain the level of standard and quality that you wanted to put out. It's like you had to go, it was all the build behind the scenes. It was everything that you had to do. Each one was a craft.
Oh, of course. Even worrying about getting your hat taken off your head was a craft. especially growing up where I grew up, that's a dirty couple of miles stretch. Like back in the day, it's horrible. Like from Croydon all the way down to Brixton, that was not a nice place to live back then.
Really?
Yeah, it was a horrible place.
I mean, I'm aware of these. But yeah, give me some scenarios in which you kind of encountered some.
Oh, just even like say for instance, going to Shams like. In Brixton Station, and you was worried about the PDC boys being outside with you, like you thinking, are they going to take my paint? Do I even want to leave the shop? It's just stupidness. Do you know what I mean? As being a young boy, and especially a white boy, like in that area, like so, I looked super young as well. So you know, like I look kind of timid being that young. So it's like I was kind of a victim, if you get what I mean. Like just for the any public being that young. Coming out of Brixton Market, so it's kind of at that time it was kind of a evacuation type of mission.
Dust quick.
Yeah. It was like quick on your toes type thing, until like we started going there. When I started going there with like the Graph crew as such, which at the time was called DBI, the Bomb Icons.
Nice DBI, old time.
Yeah.
Wicked.
It was quite known. Like to be fair, like even when we started rewriting again, like so I stopped for a very long period. I started writing in 2002 and stopped in 2005 and didn't touch spray can until 2012.
Really? Why was that? You went inside as well, didn't you, for a bit?
Yeah. So
we'll get to that in a second. So let's just go back to the era of Brixton and how that shaped you, like you say.
It sort of moulded me to who... So who I am now is different to who I am then, but it's still moulded to me to who I am now. Do you kind of get that?
Yeah, for you.
So,
well, there's no mistakes, is there?
You're, so
you are who you are, and you're here for a reason.
So, like growing up in that era, in that like area, is a ruthless period. So, and there was no CCTV. Do you know what I mean? So, like, you could do what you wanted, really.
Yeah.
Like riding down the road with mopeds with no helmet on.
Yeah.
You don't really see that now. Like,
it's true stories, man. You know, there's a lot of... There was, especially with South, like, you know, WK and all them boys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this was... And there was more than, you know... It was a culture for it. And I don't think it ever left.
We should
salute the Dons. But a lot of people would put it down to the camera work and how... But I don't think it's the cameras neither. It's just a different attitude.
It's lenient now, isn't it? It's a lot lenient. I wouldn't be doing what I was doing now, like now, if it wasn't a lenient, because what I'm doing now, you couldn't do back then. Like, you could, in a way, but you're getting chased down the road. Do you kind of get what I mean? Whereas now, someone's going,
tolerated. Yeah.
How is that, mate?
Yeah.
Are you supposed to be doing that?
Yeah.
No, not really, but, yeah, it's like, it's a bit weird. It's different, isn't it?
Do you think some of it is, and big up Sham, you know, that's my fucking guy. It was a revised idea of how you do graph, because the products suddenly came in that said, yo, you are allowed to do this because we're an official paint brand.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean? It's almost like, well, these are tools now.
It's sort of seen acceptable instead of using hammerite and stone chip and the little plastic, I can't remember the little colour ones,
there's one in there. I know.
You know exactly what I'm on about. Yeah,
with the Ford Escort car on it. I forget the name of the fucker.
But yeah, it's exactly that one. But it's the difference. The quality of paint is so different, and the color range is. We've been given tools to do the freedom.
Yeah.
As whereas we didn't have tools. Before, like,
and shit was expensive as well, so no wonder you were getting, you know, people were getting gripped outside for its time. It's like,
oh, the people was taking them didn't even want the paint.
No,
they didn't want the paint. They're not. They didn't want. They didn't want to sort of. they would like take your phone out your pocket as well as the paint or your hat off the head. Yeah. Like I think it's quite weird, isn't it? Like hat, I think a hat, like
it's a honey trap, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think hats used to get taken quite a lot back then. To be fair, it was quite a weird thing to get taken off your head. I think
your
that
new
was the,
era hat. Just
yeah,
got...
yeah, it was the, that was the first thing what was gone, and then your pockets are out as as a young kid. Do you kind of get what I mean?
Yeah, weird.
I went through it. I did get robbed. But it is what it is, kind of thing, isn't it? It's growing up in that era, and that area, but.
Yeah, totally. And it could happen anytime, anywhere, isn't it? You know, so be careful out there, everybody.
Yeah, true.
And big up the soldiers, big up the originals, all the Dons out there. Because this episode is definitely dedicated to you and of the Southern sector.
Yeah, definitely.
Where you grew up and you orbited, and a lot of your work between that era of 2000, early 2000 to 2005, you say, was where you were really cutting chops.
Yeah, it's quite surreal. On the train the other day, and I go past the wall, which has actually still got a piece from 2004.
God, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah, so, and I put it up on my story, and I had a couple of inboxes about the wall, because there's like vamp on it.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute, is this on the way of Croydon, on route
just,
to...
Just by Stretton Common, there's like a big wall, yellow wall.
Yeah, I know it.
But originally, me and Five, we put the ladder there, so I don't know if it's still there, but there was a ladder there, we put the ladder there. It got buffed. It got buffed years ago.
Whether or not they kept the ladder there, was a whole different conversation.
But so when it got buffed, me and Five went there. So, and then we like, in the process of going there, we hopped over a garden, took a ladder, and then took it to the spot, but didn't take it back with us. So it's probably why every other piece is up there.
That's fucking sick.
Yeah.
I think there should be more ladders in locations where... You know what I mean? Where you can paint. I just think that's like...
Yeah, literally. You know what I mean? Yeah, that would be a good one.
So what made you go into jail?
I'm a trained fighter, to be fair. So I had a bit of an incident in my life where I got into a bit of a scuffle with a bouncer. But yeah, it fucking put me in a bit of a position. So sort of... It's an awkward one because it's not sort of... It hit the press. So I don't really want to...
Indulge too much.
Yeah, exactly. It hit the BBC News and fucking that bollock. So
really,
it's a bit of a touchy one.
Sounds fucking full on.
Yeah, so it's a bit of I was away for a little while. Yeah,
yeah,
a couple of years.
When coming back out, was it the case that you were like primed, ready to go back into graph, or was this a?
No, I didn't even sketch. Would you believe it or not?
Really,
2.5 years behind the bar, and didn't sketch.
Yeah, but these sorts of things really give you life re-evaluation, doesn't it? It's not like, oh, well, I'm inside, I might as well just go and sketch. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot going on.
Yeah, do you know what? I didn't really have all the time in the world. So, like, the first 6 months, there was a lot of bang-up, and I did have all the time in the world. But I weren't in a state of mind to sit there and do whatever I wanted to do. But going into a sentence, I ended up having no time because I was constantly busy. So... Yeah, like I said, I didn't even sketch at all. What made me come out on graph was Chrome and Black opening by Brick Lane.
That was a beautiful spot as well.
The one next to the guitar shop,
Yeah. Bang on the high street.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember going in there a couple of times.
So that is literally, so I come out just the end of 2009 and I didn't paint till 2012, so... Like properly, but obviously we started. Five was like we was getting the bug through it, like through the of the shop opening, and he was like, "Obviously we're not gonna rob paint, are we?" He's like, "We're fucking, it's past that now." Do you know what I mean? Yeah, way past that. So he was like, "Let's go to the shop." So and then that was it. The sort of the rest was history from then till 2016. But I weren't really, like, prolific out there. I'd do the tag here and there, but my work was present in that stage.
Mm-hmm. I'll agree with that. I would also add value to that in terms of your name and when you did paint, you gave it the prime location and the skills were there.
It
always was on the wall and for readily available people to want to see it.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
But I also think it's the stock that the people that you would be rolling with back in the day, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so like when me and Five sort of went out and we done like we said, we done something. We went to Leek Street. We didn't even know these places existed.
Must have blown your fucking mind, bro.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't, like I said, I didn't know Pigs Alley and Felton Bowls was a legal place back then.
Mm.
But so to like going forward all these years and still not knowing these places existed was crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I still didn't know that was a legal place.
It's mad. It's almost like time stood still in the pen. And then when you come out, it's like, Jesus, what? Oh, yo, look at all this.
Yeah, literally that. So then, like, being from the area, like, me and Five was, and Messi, because Messi started coming out again. He's 1T, he's MZ, OSA, like he's got credentials out there, Messi.
Fucking
yeah.
Hold tight OSA as well. Fucking wicked crew,
isn't yeah,
they?
Yeah.
Big up Learn, yeah. Big up Fraud.
Bonzar, Renza, yeah, all of them.
All of them lot.
Definitely. They sort of, they rep that era.
Ditto,
as well.
Ultra listeners.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good lad. Dons. He's a good lad, yeah.
Yeah. Good peoples.
So, like, when, so then we, like, encountered Close and Alwar and the Shots, Deems, and then it was like a whole new era started.
Mm. Mm.
So, that, yeah, that was surreal. That's the era when I become PS. And, going to Alfresco Dave with Met and Crept, like one of the first people to like paint the train when he had the inside train. Like me, Met, Crept and Close.
Casually dropping the CBM. Like, big up Crept and yeah. Met and then Martin.
Yeah, that was a surreal period, that period.
Yeah, that's some pinch yourself shit, no?
Yeah, no, it was. I drove up there personally. It was me, I drove us all up there. And We'd done the London Underground train. It did look really good, to be fair. Like, we smashed it.
Some places I've never been up there to see the paint or the train or anything.
It's a good little spot, to be honest. Yeah. Like, it's a good spot to do whatever, have freedom. And I don't know if he's got the inside trains going or not. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure, no.
But I went back up there as well with Vamp, Defy, Mob and Name and Hour. And then Dems randomly pops up.
Whoa.
Yeah, so...
Dems is a bad man. Vamp. Did you say who else was there?
Defy.
Hold tight, Defy.
Mob.
Mob.
And Name.
Name 26.
Yep.
My Name fucking guy.
Yeah.
God, that's not a day out. That's not a picnic. That's not a picnic day out in my book, mate. That's some heavy hitters.
I think we went there 2014. Like, I've still got all the pictures as well for them. Like they're good days. So, like, obviously, I was getting noticed in like for work in that period because of the. Like, the people I sort of affiliating with, did you kind of get what I mean? Like,
yeah, big time.
Yeah, so, and then, again, I just sort of, it's 2016 come, I just, again, stopped.
What's the reason this time?
So, I started partying and travelling. I lived in Colombia, I stayed there, I lived in the jungle.
It was Colombia like?
Oh, what a country.
Yeah, I can imagine.
What a country. It's totally different, like, from going to different places as well. So, like, Colombian's just not Latino. Colombian's got, like, dreads, but they speak Spanish.
Yeah.
So it's so surreal. So it just, depending what part you go to, but it's a good experience. Like, I personally didn't want to come home.
Yeah. What made you come home?
I don't know. I sort of had to come home, sort of. And it got to the time after... I was there for 6 weeks, so it got to the sort of time where, you know, like, enough's enough. I've got my pal lives out there, so, as well. So, like, he ain't coming over here.
Never say never.
Yeah, yeah. So, I could end up back there.
What's the graph scene like over there?
Massive.
Yeah, I get that impression.
Massive.
Yeah.
Like, everywhere. Medellin, you can just paint.
Really?
Yeah. So, you literally can just paint.
Okay.
Obviously, they don't tolerate street tags and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if you want to do like a so-called commission,
yeah,
just paint it.
Wow. So, because, you know, 2016 onwards was the era-defining street art scene that took fruition, I think.
Excuse me one sec,
man. Yeah, man. I think Olympics played a big part in that.
So I kind of messed up with that. That's when I stopped.
I'll tie. We'll get you to the microphone. But he's just, for those that are listening and not watching, he's just going to take a quick rest bite because the mask that he's wearing will also prohibit him from taking a beverage. All right? It kind of prevented the illegal side, but inadvertently created this, you know, three-headed monster of a street art scene, which did. Now has led to everything being tolerated. What's your theory on that?
I gave up when the period of the, I'd say the transition. Not really, I gave up because I've always, after then, I always still did doodle.
Once a writer, always a writer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I just didn't go out spraying. But I think where it got so easy from that period, I think all the shops started popping up. So then everyone else started writing, and it just become normality instead of something naughty as such. Do you kind of get what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Because so that's where that kind of transitions. I think that sort of transition sort of happened, but yeah, I think it's more because of the shops.
There was a graphitism shop in Clapham, weren't there? Do you remember that?
And also in a place called Hackbridge.
That's it, Hackbridge. I mean, you know, South really were kind of ammunitioned up. You know what I mean? Northwest definitely...
Good to go for some hitters, yeah.
I mean, Northwest definitely bred some, you know, some of the day and age of graph writers, but South definitely like armed them.
ATG come down straight and hit fucking every rooftop you could possibly think of.
Every
wake up one morning and every rooftop was done. Elmo, Panic. I can't fit, you know, the standout ones were them two. Like, but there was more like all the way down Streatham High Road, and you think fucking hell.
It just doesn't stop, does it?
Yeah,
yeah. ATG, RT, these were THC as well.
I put them in the same bracket.
Maybe the tail end of DPM. I mean, these were defining crews of London.
Oh yeah, big time.
Am I missing any others out? I mean,
I could say like South, where you'd go obviously DTB, DDS,
yes.
Even you'd go as far as like MZ. But and then us lot come into the scene. SLC started.
Yeah.
So I started SLC late. SLC was around from 2006, like, big up, like, close an hour.
Because we're getting to South now. This is more South territory as opposed to anywhere else.
But we ended up with that crew mapped. So, like, even when you, like, see, like, people's graffiti things, like, they put SLC up and stuff in it. So, like, it in a way in South, I'd say, and over as well, we sort of rep that crew in sort of a way. Like, we done bits for it, for it to be a South-recognised crew. As well as the respected ones of, say, DDS is all over London and selected a bit, but when we would say, for instance, there, like DDS was Brixton everywhere, it was just fucked.
Yeah, totally. For the spread of the name as well, I mean, of course there is quality in every, you know, artist that comes through, or so wouldn't be put in a crew. But when you have so many writers, it's almost... It's hard not to get coverage, isn't it? It's it's just like running them off. Like it's an incredible era.
Oh yeah,
incredible.
Glad to be a part of it.
You are, aren't you? We said this before. You wouldn't change it for the fucking world, would you?
Oh no, definitely not. I'm glad I went through the hardship and worrying about thinking if I'm going to get my paint taken and all that bollocks. I'm fucking glad. I'm happy to say that as well. You know what I mean? I'm not a closed book thinking, oh, no, that didn't happen to me and all that bollocks. Like, closed book, yeah, people did try to take my shit off me when I was a lot younger. But it's because of where I lived. Because if I lived in the other areas, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Because at that period of time as well, I was, like, say, three years into kickboxing.
Yeah.
So I could defend myself, but I can't defend myself against a weapon.
Yeah.
So...
I feel you.
Yeah, so it's sort of a... That was a controversial thing for me as well, being a trained fighter. Mm. So...
Controversial in that people challenged you more?
No. I'm saying, like, say for instance, when I was younger, where people think me was a target, when in actual fact,
do a roundhouse around the fucking face.
I can defend myself. Do you get what I mean? So, but when in that stage of time, you didn't know what was going to get pulled out. Yeah. So, just whatever.
Yeah. Is it whatever? I'm often curious about the mindset of a athlete like that. That martial art, self defence, you know,
if someone pulls
is the
out
byproduct of the art.
Oh, if someone pulls out a blade and that, yeah, by all means, yeah, I would happily let that person think they got the better until they turn round, because then they don't know what's going to happen. But in that precise moment, if someone's at you, say for instance like that, you could either get hurt. And still win the battle, but would you rather just not get hurt?
Yeah, it's true. It isn't the kung fu flick you hope it would be sometimes, right?
Yeah, of course.
And also, if you do something
people
to impact someone's
you hear stories anything, like people throw knives around and now they're thinking they're getting hit by a punch.
Yeah.
Until they, and then they're still going until they look down and it's
fucking blood everywhere.
They're fucked. So, yeah, by all means, yeah, crack on, take whatever.
Yeah.
At that time, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we wouldn't want to, you know, incite anything or suggest that you wouldn't.
Oh, no, this is.
Yeah, we're talking
18 years ago. It's totally different now. This shit don't really happen.
As you get older as well. comment below. But yeah, you know, you're not so much the target.
Oh yeah, of course. You're a breath of fresh air just walking down the road. You know,
because you're older now, and you know,
blend in. You know, like it's totally different. Yeah, it's totally different. Like, yeah, that's 18 years ago. Like, it's totally. You wouldn't walk outside of a grass shop now and think, like, even someone. Even if they were starting a graph career at 15 or 14, going to a graph shop, do you think they would be hesitant? I don't know if they're allowed to be served paint at that age, but do you think they'd be hesitant to walk out the shop thinking it's going to get taken off them? I don't think they would.
Like, that's a really good question. Is there an age restriction? There might be.
I don't know.
Fibs said something. Again, big up Fibs on his podcast, saying that when he was younger, you know, it was almost like he was waiting outside trying to get some cigarettes off a newsagent, trying to get some paint outside of Chrome and Black. Maybe it is the case. Maybe that still stands. I don't know.
Yeah. So with me, I didn't as it Sham just sold me info. Sort us out. I can tell you what I used to go in there and buy coveralls, chrome burners, and that alien green. Little paint, if people remember the little alien greens.
Dude, me and Sham have got some awesome history. So he used to be my roadie. He used to do my merch on my shows. Right? So he'd come and do the gigs. And while we were performing, we'd get him out there stickering and bombing while we're doing the shows. Right. But the golden moment was at the end of one of the tours. This is a little story of mine, really. So I wanted to kind of like honour Sham from being there. I was like, right, let's do a beatbox install. Now, my sound man was Martin Russian, who produced all the Human League.
Yeah.
Fucking bonkers. I kind of had this moment of looking at these two worlds and generations crossing paths and him shaking, you know, Sham shaking hand with Martin Russian and this whole thing playing out in a graffiti shop. It was just like, you know, it's just some fucking surreal shit in my
head. Surreal, yeah.
Totally entertaining for me, but for everyone else, it made zero difference. But in my mind, I'm just like, Martin Russian from the Human League is in the fucking shop and Sham's there serving the sound and it was all just one big clusterfuck of all. It was a wicked store, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. What a place.
They had a radio station up top.
Yeah. Just even how the sides of it, how it's caged.
Perfect.
The vinyls up on the side. Like, everything about it was just perfect for what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Brixton lost something when that went.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah. Big up foul. Sham again. As a, you know,
yeah, without a foul. What a shot. Like I said, obviously, bad times, good times, but it got to the point where you could just walk out. Because you knew everyone at that. When you progress yourself and people like coming out and then they hear your name and like Sham saying, like, buy Ames or what's going on, later on, 5 Ames or whatever. You know, like the people standing outside the shop, because they were standing outside the shop, let you walk. So when they knew, sort of you, you know, like not so much known, because I can't really say I was. I worked my way up continuously throughout the years. So like I said, I've done loads of tracks. I've done a couple of panels, but. Yeah, nothing to fucking say. I was a hard, super hard hitter.
Right, but you were passionate and you loved the shit,
passionate,
man.
Yeah, I was born into it.
Yeah, born into it. So, moving forward to this Ames 2.0, this new mission brief, because let's not bear any bones about it. It seems to me that you poke your head over the bush and you're just like, oh, that's all that's going on. Right, I think I'll just take this, and I'll cut through this like a fucking pair of shears,
So I'll go back to October last year. I broke up with my baby mum. So, like, we was on and off for 10 years and, like, it's got, like, quite hardship, like, for my mental state. So I hadn't wrote from 2016. So still not even October last year. And my mental state, I went for a bad stage. But to be fair, like, me and her, we're really cool. Like, it's all good now. Like, you know, like...
Wicked.
It's all good for, like, my little boy and that. You know, like, it's all mutual. We've got everything in place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't like the word co-parenting, but it's a proper co-parent type thing.
Very
so,
cool.
But it weren't like that to start off with. Yeah. So, yeah, I was like in a bad place, to be fair.
Okay.
So come like February, I was taking walks in strange places where I shouldn't be walking.
Well, give me an example. What kind of...
Just like woods and that, you know, like just random places, you know, like... Well, I shouldn't have been, like, I was just lost in thought, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
I needed something...
Escapism?
Yeah, but I needed something to take that away. Because that weren't me, do you know, like...
Yeah.
So that's why I'm... That's why 2.0 is here.
Every action deserves a reaction of some sort, and people can go one or two different ways, you know. But because we've all been there when we've suffered an impact such as losing a relationship, losing a family member,
losing something.
Listen, we're only three stages away from going fucking mental.
We had like a home, a family home.
Everything.
Cat, lizard, you know, like.
Bro. It's real. Comment below. I mean, it's like we've talked about this before, and it does resonate that if you don't take action on the thing that you believe in to be your path course, you'll be denying a future prosperity, literally because you didn't take the opportunity to do the thing that you were most passionate about.
Oh, of course. So in the process of like before that, like. So a 3-year period before that, I was still doing digital work.
Mm.
I branded, like, I'd say, like, not to be biased, but I'd say 50% of the UK cannabis products in the UK. I branded 50% of them.
Really?
Yeah. And that's not to be biased.
Yo, talk about Carpe Diem. Yeah. Well, I hear there's this burgeoning new fucking weed sensation.
That's another one, Buds and Blocks. Like,
yo, let me see this. He's just holding up
And I'm even recently like to.
What's
work
this called?
I forget. It's a grinder, like a.
Oh, it's a grinder, is it? Yeah. I just thought it was a pouch. Oh, yeah, got you. See.
Even like to recently like yeah, strain stations.
Graphic
like,
looks great. The graphics is awesome.
Yeah, it's one of my designs, yeah.
It's fucking good. Sorry. It's no good for the audio crew. Sorry about that. I was just completely enamoured by their graphics.
But yeah, even to recently, like working with strain stations.
Like strain sponsor. Station, you know, like do.
Yeah, so like...
Sponsor to the stars out here.
Yeah, literally. Big up strain stations.
Yep.
But before all that, so like... I was my actual name behind the design page. This is even before I even, like, before I broke up with my, like my actual baby mum. So, like, I did this design page. And at the time I broke up with my baby mum, that design page got hacked. It was an extra turnover to my daytime job, which was anything from £500 to £1,000 a month. And basically, I had to start again. But in the process of breaking up, that happening, losing my mind a bit, like, I think the only thing what could have done it is why I'm sat here today is the graph, literally. What I wouldn't be sat here today if I didn't have that sort of thought, like, where I need to take my mind and process something. And that's what I did.
That's incredible. When you have a... okay. So when you have, like, a... platform that you're creating that it's got a turnaround, like you say, anything upwards of £500 a month, okay, that gets hacked. But it's definitely clear to me that you're on the upshot, and this is now you're now in a very prosperous position.
Blessing in disguise.
Yeah. So how is it? Because I know a lot of writers that do this, and you know you are that will just take that risk of going that step too far, even though they know they got a day job, even though they know the chips are up. Like, how do you validate that?
Because how can I put it? I done it young, but I didn't do it all city young.
Yeah.
Like, I've only started writing since March.
Yeah.
Like, so if anyone didn't realise, like, so obviously I've wrote for all that time, but I've only started again, and the 1st of March is the exact date. Started Gangstar Designs.
Fucking hell. And 1st of March?
Yeah, 1st of March this year.
Oh, my God. Mate, it just feels like it's been forever. Like, it feels like you've been so busy.
Yeah,
I would never... if you said March to me, I'd say, shut up. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, yeah, 1st of March. Even the page. I didn't have a design page for that whole period. I was lost. I was literally lost. So my closest friends, I didn't even speak to. They were like trying to find me and check up on me and that and stuff like that. But I wasn't talking to no one. I was lost. The only person I wanted to talk to was her. But I couldn't.
She didn't want me.
So not the fact that we broke up because it was a bad relationship. It became mutual. So we could have a conversation. But again, that was fucking in my head.
Because
so,
it would. Yeah.
So actually, I completely just had to go.
Yeah.
And like I said, 1st of March, I woke up one day. And I thought,
fuck this.
Exactly, literally, good exactly that.
So they're both mutual. You're painting along with the graphics, along with, you know, the CBD graphics and everything. Yeah. It's all mutually exclusive to...
So now, yeah, so before I was on a design page and like I say, it was my name. No one... So the people I was doing work for didn't know I had...
So wait, sorry, yeah. I've just downed this bottle of cherry wine. He got to the door and he goes, "Here, South London in the building," and he literally just handed me over this cherry wine.
Yeah,
very good. Yeah, so it's
yeah. So like I said, it was like my name. So no one. So like I said, I haven't got like some major crazy graph background, but I was known, you know, like so. I could have used and utilised my name in this design page and I would have probably done a lot better than what I did. Like, I've done a lot of work for Please Cakes. Like that. That's another major company. They got 2.2 million followers on TikTok and they sell their cake in Selfridges. So, but I've done a lot of their work and they've got a big, massive Please Cakes in their office, which is, I'd say, 40 foot long, which I've done.
It's so amazing.
But I weren't Ames. As whereas if I was Ames, I'd have probably got a bit more credential, but I'd say it's working better now is because I've hit it.
Yeah, you've gone in.
Yeah, I've hit it.
And I think that's why it's not only for the 20 years celebrations here, drinky drink, chin chin, but it's more, it's more a celebration of how far writers, artists, people can take their craft into different walks of creative field. I think that is so important and never shunned upon this podcast. I think it's important that we celebrate and focus on the people that, yeah, they did start off in a particular place, good or bad, but now they're here.
Yeah, exactly that. That's odd. And regardless of what happened, it made me who I am today. I'd never take it back. I'd never take it away. Yeah. I want that there because it's who I am. So...
Yeah. So there's NFTs, there's tattooing, you're now branching into all these different facets.
Yeah, so that's to be fair, the reason why I've hit it, I've got a plan over the next year, and that started from March. So when I woke up, and I worked out this plan. So one of my good pals, he's my top five, you know, like he's Tears Inc. So he's like top tattooist.
Like a big shout out, Tears Inc. Big out.
So. Like, I was chilling with him and we were sitting there and he was like, "You need to tattoo." He's like, "You can't be an apprentice because I can't tell you what to draw because you know where it all goes." So he's like, "But you can use my studio type thing in the evening."
Really?
Yeah. He's one of my best mates, man.
That's but fucking sick. So what, you're just practicing of?
So like, so I digitally draw. So he digitally draws for his tattoos, which is quite bizarre because he thinks everything's sketch, but it's not. It's all digital now. Everything's digital.
Yeah. So when or Procreate kind of thing.
Procreate, Abode, Photoshop.
Yeah.
But people are like, "Oh, you don't draw. You try and do your drawings on that and see how hard it is to start off with. Because we could do what you can do and that."
Yeah, not to mention hoardings, track size, road size. So, you know what I mean, fucking call me, yeah?
Yeah, NFTs.
Teach how to use fucking Procreate. Get the fuck out of here.
So, like, I'll give everyone tips as well. Like, people hold back on tips on Procreate. But, like, I gave Fibs some tips on, like, how to base out his layers. Like, we'll save him, something to take him maybe 3 hours, take it down to 1 hour 20.
Yeah,
I'm not one of them people who's going to hold back anything. I'll help people.
Yeah, that's one thing I've recognised about you, champ, is that you're very much an open book so far as conversation about...
Oh, yeah, of course. I think it's best. It's, you know, like, everyone's got life experience, so it's up to you if you want to hear it or not, but I'm here, and I'm here to help.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's the biggest problem with everybody. It's like everyone holds an amazing wealth of information that can be shared and shit fucking fly.
Oh, knowledge is great. Like that's it's key. It's great. Like you can't beat knowledge.
Yeah, you can't. And
shared knowledge.
Yeah, and also for all my good folk that watch this, you know, we're avid listeners. So it's great for us. But there's some people out in the world that just don't want to attain information.
Yeah, it is mad. Like you'd think. The more people express, the more people can learn and achieve, and you know, it's weird. So like, I talk short. Like, you will happily say, like, I don't know if people are aware, like, short RTZ.
Uh-huh.
But I taught him from like nothing. But not many people know that. But people will know that, like, close to him, and he'll happily say, like, I call him my young Jedi, like. But it obviously he's not, because if you see him, you wouldn't even... Short? Yeah, yeah.
Big up.
Yeah, big up, short. But yeah, he's like why he's painting today how he is now is because... Not because I taught him, like, I said, oh, this is how you do it, because everything's his own style. I said, maybe do these and, you know, like, this is how you base out things and this is how it should look, because I'm not just a graffiti artist, I'm an artist, like...
Yeah, I think that goes without saying. That's one thing that I would... Yeah, definitely highlight in this podcast is that there seems to be a lot more under the hood than just what's on surface.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a machine. That brain is naughty.
Yeah, yeah. The ADHD, does that help plough that? Does that forge the path for what you understand as being work rate?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
100%. If I'd it's super thinking without thinking.
I can imagine.
So. If someone gives me an idea, say for instance this guy,
you only have to being the
Buds and Blocks,
the grinder, yeah.
So if he can say two words to me, say for instance Cola Cubes,
yeah,
I've already thought instantly. I'm like, oh, we'll do some Latino Cola Cubes with some bandanas and gold teeth. Like it's instant.
Yeah,
it's off the cuff, like. It's not like, oh, you've got to come back to me in a week and I'll think about it and I've got a sketch.
You know, people get paid for that shit, bro.
It's thought about it, I draw it, it's there, live.
Dude, can you imagine some of those committee-based creative marketing meetings where they're all sitting around a table in a really big building, somewhere just outside the flyover in Paddington, and they're coming up with these creative brainstorms. People pay for people like you to walk in and upset the fucking setup. Like... That's money in itself, bro.
That's the mistake of having a design page and not having my artist name. So again, I think the reason why the Gangstar Designs page is doing so well from March. You've got to think this is nearly at 2,000 followers, generic followers from March.
Driving, yeah.
And that's not like a progress of getting like posting on loads of pages, because they're not interested in my pages. All these iPad Procreate. Graffiti and all that. They got like 250. They're not interested in me at all.
No.
But you don't get an influx of 1,000 followers. Like if they posted my work, I would. So it's a natural sort of thing. But that's from like I said, March. So
you wait until fucking. But it's only 2 years from now.
Yeah, exactly. That's the hope. So I ain't, like I said, I've got a year plan, and the first 5 weeks I'd already done 40 roadsides in 5 weeks. I was doing four a night. Four a night. Truth as well. Like it's not even just four a night. I was taking the piss. I'm on the roof in High Street at 4 PM filming. I've got the footage. Broad daylight, filming everyone. Going, that people don't look above their noses while I'm doing a rooftop.
They're on their phones and headphones. That's what
literally, like, I was taking a piss. Like, and I'm still taking a piss now. I'm rolling up to these spots. Broad daylight. With T, like, again, me and T's went on a...
Yo, and I just have to big up T's. This is my fucking guy.
What a guy, man.
Shocked and surprised and appalled that we haven't shouted him out. He's sitting there screwing right now.
But yeah, you're in now, T's.
You're in T's. We love you, brother.
Yeah, mad respect for this guy, man. Fucking, like, we just sort of clicked see eye to eye. We've got that same, you know, mentality straight away, you know. Instantly, and then like we did a couple of daytime missions, and
you fucking done your legging, didn't you, as well?
Yeah.
Nice one. not the ninja backflip you had before, but at least you salvaged it.
Yeah, that's what happens when you put a bin on top of a brick wall and try and stand on top of a bin.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it needs must, and we've all been there, you know. But been there. Oh,
yeah, literally.
Sorry, fucking hell, brother. It's been a real fucking pleasure, and. I think more than anything, this shit is inspiring and designed by that way.
Yeah.
It's super important that conversations like this get highlighted. And after 20 fucking years, bro, that's
And I ain't
sick.
Stopping now, so, yeah.
Out and out doing it, my
this
brother.
This is the Ames time.
Oh, yeah, so check this out.
So this is a present to Killer. This is the Ames Lex. So they're because it's my time. I started it this year. So selected people are going to get these watches. They're going to go in shops and etc. So you'll see them in like, you know, just a bit, just sort of to represent that is sort of my era, and I want people to recognise my art, just not my graffiti.
Heavy. So for those listening or watching, it's a one-off Rolex with Ames tagged along the bottom of it, and it looks fucking wicked. And it's going to go up Pride and Place, Ames time, on the graffiti Tony Hart board right now. Old tight fucking Ames, bro, thank you so much. I mean, I did all the gushing before you gave it to me before, you understand it. It's just fucking fantastic. And what an ingenuitive idea that
it's, it's just something, you know, the sort of the art side of me.
Yeah,
so I thought, you know, like, sick. Yeah, they're going in graph shops and stuff like that. Like, Chips will have one in Wildstyle Calf.
Big up Wildstyle Calf as well. VIP Graffiti, big shout out.
Train Stations is going to have one in.
Yeah, Alfresco, Dave, and Chrome and Black, all the crew, everybody. And thank you so much, my brother. Bang on. Well, that concludes your podcast experience, my brother.
Been a pleasure.
Roll on the next 20 years, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, non-stop now.
Ladies and gentlemen. That's a lot for today. Big shout out to the originals. People sharing and caring. We're doing it for our health. We ain't doing it forever, isn't it? Trust me. I'm going to find a day job soon for you lot. Big shout out to everybody supporting from the jump. It means the world. Tell a friend to tell a friend. All right? Don't talk to anyone I wouldn't. Remember, crime don't pay, but neither do they. You stay lucky, people. Big up, Ames.
Take care. Hope you enjoyed.
Peace.